Welcome back to Anime Cons TV. It's been a while since we've had an episode, and speaking of it's been a while, we have our friend Elizabeth, member of the podcast,
Hello.
joining us again.
It's been
And
a very
Elizabeth,
long time.
why are you back on the podcast? What are we going to be talking about today?
We're talking about Otakon.
Of course. So Otakon this year celebrated its 30th anniversary. And Elizabeth decided to come back and see what it's been. Was it 12 years since you've been?
Yeah, last time I went was in 2012.
I had a pretty good time overall. I went in this year saying, all right, it's my last Otakon. I need to cut back and save money and buy a house or something. But now I really want to go back because I just remembered how much fun it is to just go to a convention of that sheer size and see all these people and buy all this different stuff and see all this different awesome stuff.
And then Otakon was also my first ever convention in 2004, so it's been 20 years since then. And I thought I'd take the opportunity to revisit it with it being that big milestone for me.
All right. So as we mentioned, it was the 30th year. It definitely felt like a very celebratory year. Like they did a lot of things to really make it feel like a celebration, and that vibe really kind of permeated through a lot of the convention. And that kind of even started before the first like full day, Thursday, when everyone's picking up their badge and there's not really any programming going on in the convention center. It was held again at the Walter Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. But they had like a lawn out front that's kind of across the street that had their matsuri going. And they've had the matsuri in before, but I'm not in D.C. And it really was a very approachable space. You could kind of walk around, do a circuit, see different activities. They had some traditional Japanese crafts. They had a version of like kind of the goldfish catching game with the little paper rings to see if you could win some stuff.
I want a sticker.
Yeah, they were giving out those fans too,
Which
which
were needed.
fantastic given
Was
how
hot.
hot it was. But it was a very inviting space, and it was kind of a nice way to kind of ease into the convention, just kind of have something to do on day zero.
It was cool to just like walk through for like 5, 10 minutes, go do something else, get dinner. Go walk through it again. They did have some events going on at a small tent on one side. They had I think some like businesses in the area giving away like coupons for like a discount on food and things like that. But that was really cool to see the different games and the different crafts. And they had a lot of chalk drawing in the area that had some really cool things going on. And it was, I think, a really good low-key way to kick things off because everyone's kind of coming in that day. Everyone's coming in at different times, so you don't want anything really solid on Thursday, but just something kind of informal but really fun to just check out for a little bit, maybe meet up with your friends that you haven't seen before. And I really liked it. I thought it was a really good way to kick off the weekend, even if it was like 7,000 degrees out.
Yeah, I mean it's Otakon, so it's always sweltering, it feels like, but that's almost as much a tradition as everything else there. One of the parts of the 30th anniversary was they had their museum again, which they've had for several years now, but they moved it to a different space, kind of across from registration pickup, which was really nice. Like it was a nice big open space. It got a lot of foot traffic. One of the little thin details that I really liked, and I tried to get a little bit of footage of it, is you can see they have a kind of a blue tape outline in this room around, and they had a little note saying this was the size of the first Otakon, just to kind of give you an idea of where it's come from and how it's evolved and everything like that. And it was really stunning to think this is what it's grown to become and how it's changed.
Yeah, just like one room in this huge convention center, and like they marked off like the different rooms. Like there were a few video rooms and like one or two panel rooms and probably a few vendors. And the fact that now that's just their museum, and they set it up really nicely that you could walk through and see every, they had something for every year with the different program guides and badges and a lot of interesting information about each year and like fun little trivia things. Like I didn't realize that at the con in 2021 or 22, whenever it came back from being shut down due to COVID. It was the first event in that convention center, which is pretty cool. It was nice to like go see that 2004 section of the exhibit and be like, wow, this is like where it all started for me. And I bet a lot of other people who are going to the convention, that was also their first convention, and they could like go back and take a walk down memory lane of where they started and which ones they went to, and like remember what those years were like, which was really nice. And it's just really cool to see how much they've grown, because like even started when I started going, it was in 2004, and then didn't really get more into it until like the late aughts. I don't think I ever went to one that small, like maybe a couple local comic shows, but it's crazy to think that they like a lot of conventions started out that way back in the 90s, and now they're taking over whole
Yeah.
cities.
One of the other things I really liked that they did this year is we mentioned that the museum was in a different location, and it definitely felt like from previous years in this space. And I know, Elizabeth, this is your first time seeing it in this convention center, but it really felt like they took a good look at how they use the space. Some of the rooms moved to different areas and things like that. The makerspace, which was one of my favorite things from previous year, seeing that move to a larger room so more people could do it and they could spread out more was really nice to see. And they had some little activities, like they had like, okay, this hour is going to be this hour is going to be this, but they also had just kind of drop-in activities. So if you wanted to do a little drawing and put it in like the little display they had, you could do that. They had a mock birthday cake so you could make it to help decorate it, which is great. Little, I like little things like that of like, oh, I've got 20 minutes to spare between two events. I want something to do and not spend money in the dealer's room. That's a great opportunity. And I really liked how that, and I'm glad to see that that space is continuing to succeed.
Yeah, I popped in there for a little bit, and that was something I haven't really seen before at another convention. And it's a great, like you said, I have a little bit of time to kill. I don't want to go spend more money. I don't want to just sit and do nothing, but now I can learn how to make this, Japanese or other Asian culture craft and learn something new and, bring something fun to bring home too.
And we should point out that this is different from the Oda-chan activity for the kid, aimed at kids. This is all attendees very much welcome, and it worked really well for that. So we mentioned, having time to kill, though. One of the things that I thought about, though, was the schedule was, I can't call it even bad, but there was just a few things here and there that I felt were kind of weird. Like, I mean, I'll give a couple of shout outs to like V, friend of the pod Vega, did the Animary Christmas one, which was like first thing in the morning Friday, but that was a perfect time slot for that. It was a very fun, energetic, easy panel to do right at the beginning of the day. But then there's other ones like Gerald Rathcold from Anime World Order had the History of Anime in Non-Anime, which is a kind of a modification of a panel he's done before, but it was at scheduled for like midnight. And it's not like an 18 plus panel or anything. Meanwhile, some of the 18 plus programming was starting a little early in the evening, like 8 o'clock, which just felt a little strange.
Yeah, like it's important to have programming that balances out your 18 plus programming, because like not everybody wants to go to adult style panels all day. Like that's may not be for everybody. Like even if at that point in time it's mostly people who are adults still at the convention, like that may not be what they want to do. So it's nice to have some things late, but like that just doesn't feel like the right time to have those kind of panels.
Yeah.
And I also feel like 8 o'clock is, I don't know, maybe we're a little old, but like
Yeah,
8 o'clock might be a little early for 18 plus panels. So I feel like there could have been some balance, but the programming altogether, I don't think I've gone to as many panels as I did this past weekend. And there were some times where like there were multiple panels at the same time I wanted to check out, and I had to pick. And I feel like there's like over the past 5 years, maybe even, it's like, well, nothing's really catching my eye. There may be one or two. It was like I was going through the guidebook and I'm like, add schedule, add schedule, add schedule. Like so
Yeah.
much stuff that I wanted to do. A couple of my favorites were, because I've gotten into wrestling the past few years. There was a guy, like a one, it was, I don't know, I think it was called a guide, maybe it was called like a guide to Japanese wrestling, which is really interesting because I only know a little bit about Japanese wrestling and it's really cool. And like a, it's also very silly, and I love silly wrestling. So he so they showed some really cool clips there. I went to a really cool panel about women in Final Fantasy, and then some really interesting cosplay related ones. I went to a workshop that was, oh, I don't have it with me, but how to make like just hand sew a little chicken, and I got to bring home this little chicken that I it's upstairs, which I had it here, but. And there was one called the Con Mom Olympics, which was basically a game that alternated between trivia that was like anime or Otakon related, and then like doing tasks like here's some crepe paper, make a costume out of one of your team members. And that was really cool. Like that was a fun, like if you were to explain it to anybody outside an anime convention or conventions in general, they'd be like, what? What's a con mom? So yeah, I think just a packed schedule full of a wide array of stuff to do, and I think maybe because of that they could only put some stuff like in.
Yeah. There was very few times where I felt like there's nothing on the schedule that appeals to me. I want to give a shout out to one panel I went to. The presenters were a nerdy couple. That's that literally their name. And it was called From Stealing to Streaming, and it went through kind of the history of anime and how it's evolved both in Japan and kind of in an American fandom. And it was really well researched, really well done. Like, I loved that their slide deck looked like an old Netscape browser window, and it was really nice to see. I think the only time I really kind of questioned why is this on the panel is I saw there was two like panels that were remembering Akira Toriyama, which massive impact on fandom for all of us. I just don't know if we needed two of them on there. So that would be the only thing. And that's so low on the list of like anything because, again, it seemed like there was a lot of good stuff. Another good scheduling thing I thought was really good, even though I think it was exhausting for Justin Tsevakis, was having Anime Ego and then Discotech Media panels back to back in the same space because you are going to have a lot of people that are interested in both of those. So I appreciated seeing both of those at the same time, or not at the same time, but right next to each other. So you got a lot of the same fans for both.
Yeah, with this, you had mentioned when we started talking about programming, and so this is my first time at this venue for Otakon and how you see them change the space. I thought they used the space really, really well. One thing I remember distinctly about Otakon in Baltimore was that bottleneck of a bridge getting from one side to the other. They still kind of had that. It wasn't the bridge. So like there's a very wide bridge that you go over that connects the two different buildings, which is good. The problem is, then you go downstairs to get to the panel rooms, and there's either one or two escalators, no stairs, depending on how which direction they put the escalators in. And that was causing a bottleneck a lot of times. And that's not their thing, that's on the convention center. But I don't know, maybe they can consider. And I can see why you wouldn't, because you have to have different more resources for bag checking and all that. But letting people in on that side too to alleviate that bottleneck, especially at high times when it's in between panels. That was the only like, and then there's another way to go that you can like go all the way down to the bottom level, which goes under the street, and then you come back up that way. But sometimes when you're already going that way, you don't want to necessarily go back and then go down and then go.
Yeah, it felt
So
like you were
that,
going back in a lot.
yeah, that bottleneck was really the only negative I saw of how the place was laid out. Like it didn't feel like a huge space. It just felt like huge in the sense of there are a lot of places to go. It just felt big. That
Yeah.
makes no sense. But like it, like It wasn't big in the sense where, like, it was, I very quickly figured out how to get to point A and point B, which was really nice. And then having that underground, under the street connection to the Marriott, where they also had more programming, was really nice. They had, I went to a couple of things there. They had a sewing workshop room that, like, you could pay for to do workshops. I didn't do any. Kind of wish I did, but those were an extra cost because usually you get materials to learn how to make something, you get to keep the materials. But they did have some sewing machines on demo, and that was very tempting. But so you have to see the sewing machines in action. They had a couple of vendors there selling specific sewing related items, so it was cool to have this little room. It was a little tucked away, and I wish it was a little more in an obvious place, but
Yeah,
that was nice to see.
they seem to still be having a little bit of trouble getting traffic over to the Marriott, and I think it's getting better, but it could definitely use a little bit of improvement there.
Yeah, and what was nice in the Marriott was they had a room specifically for line containment, which I've only seen PAX do. I think just PAX East, not necessarily PAX Unplugged, but PAX East has like specific queue rooms so that the line can form in a room outside of the traffic areas. And they did that in the Marriott, which was like really smart because there is like nowhere in the Marriott to put a line.
Yeah.
So, like, that's very smart on them. It cuts down on your usable space for events. But I think with a con the size of Otakon, which is 46,000, a lot of people, it never felt like that many people, that
Yeah.
too. Like, it, unless like you were at the dealer's room, 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah. So two parts of the you mentioned the lines, I know they changed how they did the dealer's room line, which was a big problem in the past, is they had kind of one entrance at the beginning, but then they split it up to have two, maybe even three, I think at least two places that you could enter the dealer's room too, which alleviated a lot of the traffic in that hallway, which made it a lot easier to get in and out. They also opened the air wall between the dealer's room and the artist alley, which made a lot of more traffic flow between those two a lot easier as well. I got to mention one bad line, and then we'll get to another good line. It seemed like their merch booth was having some trouble. I think they were having some internet issues with their tablets or something. But I got towards the Otakon merch line pretty much right as the dealer's room opened this year. Because I and partially because I wanted to pick up something for a friend who couldn't get there. And so I was towards the front, and it still took me 2 hours to get through that line. And the only thing reason I put up with it for that long is I made a kind of a promise to a friend. And I understand it was if it was internet connectivity or issues or something. I think that's something that they need to go back to the facility and like, okay, we need a guaranteed good internet connection. And I don't know if that's on the facility, if it's on the convention for not requesting it of the facility, what, but I think that would be something that they should put towards the top of their list because there was definitely people getting frustrated. And thankfully, I was next, standing next in line with some great guys from Illinois who made my experience a lot more enjoyable. We just chatted and everything like that, so I want to give them a nod. But I definitely think it's something where if I was the person in charge of the merchandise booth, I would be saying this needs to be fixed next year, top of the list. Now, for the good line, they also were really good about wrangling the line for the big main event space on the top floor. They kind of moved it up against the wall so you weren't like you were kind of across an atrium. And that lineup, of course, worked really well for things like one of our favorite events, the concert of Flow.
Yeah, that was cool. And like by the time like I went to go join you for the concert, and we were fortunate enough to have press seating, like they were only allowing certain people upstairs, so they were mitigating that. They knew it was cut off, and it's like, yep, let's not add to the problem and tell people, even though, like, well, I think at that part the art show was done for the night by that
Yeah.
point. So that was the only other thing upstairs, other than a lot of like what we of like when it wasn't a main event time, if you needed to get away from the crowds, the third floor was it. Like, it was
Yeah.
empty, like midday. It was great. Anyway, yeah, the Flow concert was awesome. I think the only thing I would do about main events in general was on the third floor was main events and then yard show, I would make the whole thing main events. Like that main event space for the size of the convention felt small. I think, I don't know if maybe down the road there'll be a venue they can use, like how they used that arena in Baltimore, starting with Larkin CL in 2004. I don't know how feasible that is in that area of DC, but it, comparatively speaking, it felt like a small main event space for that type of event.
But they put on a great show, hearing everyone nuts for Chala Head Chala, which I realize isn't their originally their song, but they've become kind of the de facto I don't know.
The new version.
And of course, Go from Naruto, which just hearing everyone go nuts for that and seeing the energy that they put on the stage was so much fun. Like
That was incredible.
that crowd was so into it.
Yeah.
The only thing that the thing that was a little weird is they had kind of like some misting fans going on for part of it, and those were running before the concert even started. And I don't know if it was to keep the temperature down and stuff, but it made things a little hazy. But again, that's a minor thing. Overall, it was still a great performance, and that stage looked really nice. And just seeing how energetic the fans were was really nice to see.
Yeah, and they had other musical guests too. So during, I know they had other shows at the weekend, but at opening ceremonies, they had Studio Alf perform from Korea, and then Mikage Project, who is a traditional Japanese musicians. And so it's cool to hear the modern style, like rock style from Flow, and then hear, because they're very, Otakon's very big on there. They want to celebrate Asian culture. And then hearing traditional music being played as well is a nice, like, just different stuff for everybody. And then even like if you've never seen it before and want to try it and like check it out, like everything's there for people to do.
Cool. So any other things you want to mention or anything before we wrap up?
Yeah, this is a small thing. So most cons put in a, well, two things about this. One, so this is their awesome sheet of awesomeness. And it basically it's a map and shows where everything is. And two things is they didn't have a printed schedule, which for me is like an old time con goer is hard to get used to. But at the same time, stuff changes a lot and you don't want to rely on that. So pretty much accepted that guidebook, or if they have their own app, is the way to go for conventions now. But on the back is a poster
I
that I
love
can
this.
and I can keep as a memento that I just have now, and I think that's an amazing idea that all cons should steal.
It's such great art. It's so vibrant, so colorful too, especially for the 30th anniversary. So one of the things on the map that I know you also really wanted to talk about was the video game room.
Oh my God. So I mentioned that there were a lot of panels I wanted to see, and that took a lot of time. But when I wasn't at a panel, I was in the video game room. It was great. Like there was this wide, first of all, the room was giant, which was great. But this wide selection of like the stuff you usually see. So current stuff, retro stuff, and then they had like pinball machines, they had a ton of Pamani games, they had also a section right up front when you walk in of it was mostly like indie game developers like showing off their games. I played this one game that was, I forget the name of it, but it was this rhythm, shoot, I forget the not beat 'em up, bullet hell, rhythm bullet hell game that was like super hard, but hard in a good way of like where you're playing a rhythm game but also playing a bullet hell game at the same time, and it was great. And I need to find what that was so I can play it because it's available now. But and they also had, for like a hot minute, Nintendo was there, had like this quick little pop-up setup where they showed off the World Championship game, and they had a ton of swag to give away, which I'm glad I hit it when I did because I don't think it was there for very long on Saturday. And also in the back of that room, they had a car show, which I've never seen at an anime convention, which I've heard of. So basically, it was all these detailed cars with anime and video game art, and I don't know those technical terms with card stuff.
Itasha cars, yeah.
Yeah. So that was like really cool to just go like walk through and check out. And then like this was great is on the side of that room, they also had board games, which I didn't get a chance to check out, but they had four different cosplay meetup stations with these big, huge backdrops for each one. And those were in the schedule for each fandom to go. And it's a perfect spot for it. It's like in the front, big corner. Like it's a big space for it, but they had the space for it and they made the space for it. And I've been at a lot of cons are doing this now where they have the cosplay meetups and they're not always in the best spot. So this was perfect, and they had a nice backdrop for each one, so that even like in between the meetups, you could go and take pictures of your own costume. And then they had smaller, little background things for costumes. So like that was like every con, especially the bigger they are, should have something like this. And it was
Yeah,
really
like
great to see.
these backdrops were all like what, like 2 stories tall? Like they were massive.
Huge, bigger than my
And
house.
like you could fit a huge, so like even if it was like the biggest property of, current season cosplay meetup, you could still easily fit everyone in there. And I love it that it's not like blocking a stairwell or anything like that. And they're kind of generic enough that almost any anime or things like, oh, it's a ramen shop or something like that. So just about anything fits in there.
Yeah,
And they're so good.
that's a must that like any big, especially bigger cons should have. And then also wanted to mention the guest lineup was really good, like especially if you're into Final Fantasy VII, I think everyone who worked on the game or like voice
Yeah.
acted in that game. It was great. And then they had like a bunch of UK voice actors, like that they specifically highlighted at opening ceremonies, which was nice. And then just they had so much guest content throughout the weekend. So if go seeing guests is important to you, like keep an eye on Otakon's guest announcements.
I
It's
would also say there's a
your
lot
spot.
of people that you might not recognize their name, but if you start looking at their bio ahead of time,
Yeah,
you'll
like
find,
we did.
oh, they did this thing. Or they work for this studio and you get to see some neat stuff they did. Like I know Studio Trigger has been kind of continuing to go to Otakon a lot and they're bringing different people and that's really great to see.
Or the director of your favorite video game of all time. Didn't realize who that was. I didn't put two and two together until like we were on the road, and I'm like, I didn't bring anything from the sign.
Yeah, I forgot that as well. But yeah, like it definitely felt like this year that if you were bored at the convention, it was kind of your own fault because there was so much to do.
I mean, even like one day, I don't remember what day it was, I'm walking through, and there's like a bunch of musicians just playing like nerdy music together. So, I could sit there and for like 5 minutes and listen to some music and then go do something else. It was cool.
I want to give out one other shout out like to the video games that I saw was they had some interesting retro Japanese stuff that I hadn't seen before, like a Mobile Suit Gundam like fighting game from like the 80s, early 90s. Like it's very basic. The cabinet art looks like we've got Amuro Ray at home version of him. It's not very on model, but I'd never seen it before, and that was neat to see that. And then steps away from it was the new latest version of the Gundam Maxi Boost, whatever the full title is nowadays, the high-end thing, and just having those next to each other was really cool.
Yeah. Video game room is great. I feel like video games, that's alone worth, going for even a day.
Well, I think that just about covers it, but of course I gotta ask you. It's been a while since you went to Otakon, you came back. You think you're gonna wait a little longer to come back the more, or you think you're gonna come back again soon?
I'm planning to go back. I already have a room. Somehow, we're not going to talk about what happened with their room. Hotel room lunch for next year, but I have a room. I am planning to go back. I had a great time. I've always had kind of a void in my summer because I don't go to Dragon Con really anymore of a con to go to, and this filled it really nicely.
Well, I know I'll be back. They can't keep me away
No.
as much as they
What
try.
year is what number is next year going to be for you?
Next year will be, oh dear. That'll be my 25th Otakon.
Yep.
Oh, geez, wow. Yeah. Started in
Cool.
2001 and haven't missed one since, even the virtual one.
Nice.
All right. Well, be sure to follow us on AnimeCons TV. We're on all the wonderful social media platforms as they keep changing names and everything. Don't forget to leave a comment on the video. Let us know what you like. If you went to Otakon or if you're thinking about going, let us know in the comments. We want to hear your thoughts. And I'm Doug Wilder.
I'm Elizabeth.
And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Bye.